Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to this, our second edition of Dakota Speaks. I held a session last night that you can actually go back and listen to. It's already been archived. I am Dakota Lone Star, and you're listening to Dakota Speaks on Blog Talk Radio. You can also interact with us or engage us at our website, which is located at www.dl2840.weebly.com. That's dl2840.weebly.com. All right, now today's episode is actually very important as well, and crucial to the understanding of end time events, as the Bible prophesied long ago, even as far back as Genesis chapter 15. We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 15, verse 12 in particular today, and the prophetic impact of that particular verse. So let's go ahead and get started. I want to give you the call-in number. It's 646-668-8530. I will not be taking your calls until I've read Genesis 16:12, and until we've discussed I've discussed a couple of points or talking points, if you will. All right. Again, that call number in just a few minutes is 646-668-8530. Now, I've entitled today's program "Time's a Tickin'," and at some point in the near future, I'm actually looking at creating a program called 2300 Hours. For you, for those of you with any military background whatsoever or family in direct family in the military, most of you understand that we run on a 2400-hour clock, and I actually think it's easier to do so. And are we at the precipice of time as we know it? Are we at a cliff? Where are we at in terms of biblical prophecy and the last days? Now, only the Father rather knows, the day and the hour that He will send His only begotten Son. Not even Jesus Christ Himself knows the exact moment. So I really picture the Father as seated at a eternal calendar, if you will, so to speak. Even though Jesus has always existed, the Father's in charge of the times and the seasons. All right, and today we're going to look at chapter 16 and verse 12, and I'm going to go ahead and read that now. And this is speaking of Ishmael. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Now that verse itself speaks directly to Ishmael, or of Ishmael, the father of the physical father of Islam. And at the outset, I was going to ask a foreboding question, if you will, but didn't do so. I would like to ask or pose a question right now, though. What does Canada, the United States, Japan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, several countries in Africa, and several nations in the Far East have in common? What do they have in common? And actually, primarily every nation, even the Scandinavian nations and of the world and Europe. In verse 12, it clearly says that he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren, and his hand would be, he would be a wild man, unable to be tamed, in terms of Islam. Even if you look at it just from the aspect of Sunnis and my goodness, I just drew a blank. The Sunnis and well, at any rate, Islam is a fractured religion, at best, and really more of a political ploy than it is a religion, in my opinion. Having said that, if you reside in these United States of America, and you want to practice Islam, fine. I am not against you. I am also, being a Christian, I cannot and will not believe that God doesn't have an only begotten Son and Jesus Christ is his name. But that's where America has become the greatest nation, or why the nation has become as great as we have, because we're allowed to have those differences and differing opinions. But actually, anyone that thinks that this wild man that in verse 12 can be tamed, Shiites and Sunnis, it just popped into my head now, but very fractured religion. A few years back, I was talking to a friend, and there was a soccer match between, I believe it was Iran and Iraq, perhaps, on the world stage, so to speak, and someone detonated a bomb at a soccer game. They, you know, oftentimes they can't even enjoy a good game of soccer together without attacking one another physically, which is really, really tragic. Having said that, though, the only peace that's going to come will be brought about by what the book of Revelation refers to as the Antichrist. He's going to, you know, sign a pact, and there will be 3 years of pseudo peace, if you will, in the Middle East, or with Israel and her neighbors. But it won't be a lasting peace. That peace will be broken, and God will judge and reign supreme, even the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, I did want to, this wild man, if you will, in Ishmael, has created pain and suffering in every country in the nation, or every country in the world, rather. I'm sorry. His reach is widespread, to say the least, because it says here that he will dwell in the presence of all of his brethren. And you can't really name a nation any longer, or country, where that doesn't include an Islamic inhabitant. So that's a prophecy taken directly from Genesis, and obviously we know that Japan was drawn into the fray, if you will, as of late. Canada has been attacked. The United States has been directly attacked, in my opinion, with the brutal beheading of Colleen Hufford. You attack one of my people, then you've attacked my nation as a whole. And Canada had to deal with it within their parliament or government as well as of late. And Japan even lost two individuals. And for anyone to refer to these losses or as not being, or in a trivial manner, if you will, that's actually demonic, in my opinion. To refer to the loss of an individual and then immediately compare it to any other real or perceived threat, like global warming, if you will, within the same breath or sentence, that's pretty evil. At least not, definitely not humane in the sense of caring for those that continue to attempt to live out each day without a loved one. So I just want everyone to know that my prayers, the prayers of Dakota Lone Star, are going out, are up to God, you know, in the heavens. And I pray for the Huffords. I pray for Colleen's husband and their children and their grandchildren. She was a grandmother that was beheaded by people that I consider to be Neanderthals. Really, I mean, and actually, neither Islam nor business owners that are liberal, neither Islam nor liberal business owners are the black rhino of the free world, collectively speaking. Everyone treats both with kid gloves, and I'll talk about that more in the future. But I did want to say this, that time is a ticking. I do believe that we are in the last days for certain. We see people, and it's interesting as well. One thing that really interests me is that over in the Middle East, the minority peoples of the Middle East are primarily Christian, many times or oftentimes, and they only make up a mere percent or two at most of any given Middle Eastern nation. And interestingly enough, they're certainly darker than I am, a darker shade, if you will. But it doesn't fit the narrative today, does it? It doesn't fit the narrative of the Inner Onion. It doesn't fit nicely into his hip pocket, into the hip pocket of the left, if you will, because you know, they can't stand so many in the Middle East and large portions of Africa and even Asia. They can't stand the West. And there are people here that certainly cannot stand the West. And that's why I really believe that radicals within our nation that call themselves Americans are truly wolves in sheep's clothing, and they are only steps, mere steps removed from radical Islam in the way that they act, the way they carry themselves, in their belief systems, the inability to care about a single soul and or the friends and family of those that are attempting to mourn. So, but anyway, it's just going to continue until that 3.5 years of peace, which will be a pseudo peace. But give me a call at 646-668-8530. I'm going to go ahead and actually read a quote out of the Washington Times from Afghan President Ashraf Ghani. Ashraf Ghani actually said, and I quote, "The killing of innocent women and children shows that the terrorists have been defeated on the battlefield and are looking for alternative means of killing innocent people." And that's Afghan President Ashraf Ghani. And Pakistan recently, with a couple hundred school children that were murdered, and the Pakistani parents that were up in arms, and you know, some of the footage that I saw of them mourning, a great mourning. And you know, there's no nation that hasn't been touched by the wild man, and unfortunately, the official wild man eventually will be thrown into the bottomless pit at a certain point, never again to bother us, but or bother anyone at any rate from a certain point forward. Praise be to Jesus. But anyway, you know, it's interesting because the Jews, they had it right in Genesis 16:12. There are people here, though, just to be fair, and on the flip side, there are Americans that I believe wouldn't kill another person or murder another person, that claim Islam as their faith. There are a couple of people in general. Bridget Gabriel, I believe, is one. But there are others. There are a handful of others, obviously. But the thing is I believe prudence would dictate that it be okay for us to know who was secretly handing out candy when the Jewish rabbis were slaughtered about 5 or 6 months ago in Israel, utterly slaughtered, like lambs to the slaughter. Anyone that was secretly handing out candy or any secret handshakes in the United States, that is just pure, unadulterated evil. And I think it's okay to want to know who among us is that radical. I think that prudence would dictate that we determine at some point just who is that radical. Anyway, so the next show, I'm actually, you know, I do have a few minutes here to take your calls at 646-668-8530. But, you know, there's really no nation, like I said, on the face of God's earth that that hasn't been affected by radical Islam in a major way. The fact that I talked about it last night a little bit, I said that, and I'll say it again today, that I think that we're going to have a really, really, really tough time going forward defeating radical Islam, because we don't take it seriously enough. The younger generation is laughable in one sense, not altogether. There are amazing Americans that aren't of age, quote unquote, yet. But when we look at the last election within the United States of America, loosely United States of America, we saw in North Carolina, at North Carolina State, North Carolina State won a Cosmo Award, and they were being bused to the polling booths or polling places, being escorted for all intensive purposes to polling places with male strippers on board the buses. So we really don't have anything to be proud of for the most part in this nation any longer either. And I think for some reason there's this like spiritual veil that people are unable to call evil evil and good good. And today that was another prophecy that would take place today. The good would be referred to as evil, and the converse also would be true, that evil would be referred to as good. And there's, you know, a lot of things going on in our nation, and I'm just hoping the United States, we are certainly in a nosedive as a nation, and the inhabitants that are under 30 really don't have a clue that, you know, that that socialism and communism have been tried before, that, you know, the Nazis have tried before, and it's all really an evil collective take, if you will, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. People in Kosovo right now are flooding, are clamoring to get away because there are no jobs. Communism doesn't work. Excessive taxation will not work. Lack of context where the Bible is concerned does not work. And these people are suffering around the world. And, you know, we're looking at excessive taxation here as well. You know, the business owner that has three or four locations, if he or she, if the taxes are raised against that person in one sense, right, to take care of people that won't work, then they're not able to open another business and create more jobs. It's pretty simple. It's elementary, mathematically, if you will. And yet half of the nation, just greater than half of the nation. I mean, right now, the 2008 election, I was pretty sure that we were at about a 60-40 split, that a Republican would never hold office again in terms of the presidency of the United States of America. Now, I may be wrong. I may wake up late next year to the news that a Republican will once again inhabit the White House, or a godly independent person, if you will. But I don't see it happening. My fear is that we'll all go down together in a ball of flames as an aircraft, you know, like taking its nosedive, proverbially, you know, as a not a cliche really, but an analogy, if you will. And we're in a lot of trouble. I mean, there's no way that countries can continue to exist if we continue to pay for the mistakes of others and don't own up to our own mistakes. It's expensive. The Buffett rule can't even touch our expense level in terms of our sin nature. And the only cure-all is Jesus Christ. And I believe that. I know that to be true. But you don't have to believe that. That's what's awesome. But here's the thing. Smokers should all get together, and if they want to continue to smoke, I wish they wouldn't, and form their own union of tobacco users, smokers and people that chew tobacco. It shouldn't be passed along. Those expenses shouldn't be passed along to Americans that are non-tobacco users. That's just an example. People that believe it's okay to lead an adulterous lifestyle, those people should have to pay for their medications should they pick up a sexually transmitted disease, which, by the way, America spends over, I guess it's around $10 billion, I believe, annually or per decade. I can't remember. And I know that's a large difference, but it was substantially more than the Buffett rule could garner if implemented in full. But there are plenty of things. But right now, you know, how are we going to deal with, you know, you've got Boko Haram and ISIS and Al-Qaeda and different offshoots and so forth. You know, the thing that frightens me is that it appears as though far too many Americans and people around the world cannot for the life of them understand the difference between degradation and destruction. You know, when people use phrases like to ultimately degrade and destroy ISIS, you know, that's laughable. You can't do that without boots on the ground. In terms of Ramadi, you know, being overrun and so forth, you know, with these groups. And the other interesting thing is that when you do take out one of their leaders, when Osama bin Laden was taken out, for example, you had a bunch of like 20-nothing-year-olds in front of the White House, waving their flags, drinking in excess, excited that, you know, that the rock star got bin Laden, so to speak. And there's half a million other people just waiting in line to take his place. You have to realize that this is going to be a war that's going to go on until Jesus Christ speaks and the sword of his mouth beckons the will of God in the earth. And, you know, I would rather fight it overseas than fight it here at home. Unfortunately now, with the loss of Colleen Hufford in Oklahoma, with the police officers that almost lost their lives up in New York City with the freak of a hatchet guy, was wielding a hatchet at them, at unsuspecting law enforcement officials. It's here. It's already here. And they can say, oh, it's a lone wolf attack all they want. But the percentages hopefully will never play out in terms of any of their plans around the world. Even if only 10% of Islam is jacked up, if that 10% were to wage holy war all at the same time, my God, it would create havoc in the world and within the world economy as a whole. But I think the best way, you know, to certainly deal with these people, you know, like the Fort Hood, 2009 Fort Hood perpetrator, why is he even still alive? We have plenty of information, concrete information, that proves that this guy was responsible for killing, you know, dozens of people, or a dozen people, and wounding several others. And this guy's still alive. It's like, I don't know how much we spend on him each year in terms of our corporate taxation as citizens of this country, but I know that it's a penny too much to spend another dime on this guy. I mean, you know, now this Boston Marathon bomber, he'll sit on death row for 10 or 15 years as well. So if you extrapolate that, it's pretty expensive as well over the course of 10 years just to house, feed, and take care of two men, let alone hundreds. And I don't quite understand our international policy as of late anyway, you know, trading criminals for like the Bo Bergdahls of the world, violent criminals, lethal extremists, if you will. Now there's lethal extremism and there's extremism. And if you don't know the difference, you should probably pack it up and or not have children, please, for the love of Pete. Lethal extremism is what I'm going to talk about a little bit next week on Dakota Speaks. Next Monday night, we're going to talk about lethal extremism and nixing, or 86ing, if you will, lethal extremism Dakota style. You're not going to want to miss that program, I'm telling you, folks, because I do have an answer to jihadism across the world. Some people aren't going to like it, but it's a very fair-minded approach, so you're not going to want to miss that next week. Nixing, lethal radicalism, Dakota style. And that'll be next week. So again, the call-in number for next week is going to remain the same, folks. You can actually key this into your cell phones at 646-668-8530. You can follow me on blogtalkradio.com/DakotaSpeaks. Also, our website again is dl2840.weebly.com. And weebly.com is an amazing Weebly is a great host, and I highly recommend them as well. All right. God save America. Until next Monday, this is Dakota Lone Star. Take care of yourselves.